Into the Jaws of Death, written by Marenke and read by Wilfriede 0815. Fandom, The Locked Tomb. Relationship, The Body / Herohoric Nonagesimus. Rating, Explicit. No archive warnings apply. Additional tags, Alternate Universe, Heronova. Pain Play, Character Study, Cannibalism. Summary. Harrow had made an attempt on the daughter's life. Harrow had made an attempt on the daughter's life. Perhaps she'd finally been driven to madness, such was the horrified call of the Reverend Mother, but it had felt good to rip her face to shreds, even if temporary insanity had made Harrow forsake the rapier and chain for the simplicity of her bare hands. The daughter had, of course, not taken it quietly. Using the powers God had denied Harrow, she made her bleed inside, pain tearing in her abdomen. The daughter had hissed at her, and unceremoniously dumped her on the dirt floor before going to change clothes, something or another about the trip to the first in her tongue. Ortiz had looked at her piteously, and Marshal Crux had been tied to his post too much to move, and neither did anything as Harrow trembled to her feet, biting her tongue as she limped pathetically away. The Reverend Father and Mother would righteously assume it was to lick her wounds, but Harrow knew the integrity of her body, and knew that the daughter had done permanent damage to it, had marked her to die like the useless failure Harrow was. That was fair. Death was preferable to rotting away as second best for the rest of her miserable life. It was only fairer, then, that the last of the Anastasian line died at the tomb. Of course, Harrow knew its location, the tricks to get there. Crux had taken her by the hand, deep in the night of her 8th birthday, when it was obvious to anyone she was not the Reverend Daughter anymore, supplanted by the cuckoo's parasitic child, and shown her the things a lack of necromancy had denied her. He'd never taken her further. No, that rock was not to be rolled until the end of times, when God would need his very own death back. In her memory were stuck the words, complicated beyond measure and glossy, and Crux's words on how only God himself could break them open. Harrow had opened it a week later. She'd gotten the blood of the daughter in her hands, had left a scar on her neck, and ran to the tomb, wanting death to all. She'd been surprised at its opening, and more surprised at the traps, awful things, theorems she could recognize but not undo. She knew theorems, could recite any if asked. When she was still hopeful over necromancy blooming late within her, Harrow had studied them as religiously as she did the blade. Then, of course, the daughter had sneered at her, tattled to the Reverend Father and Mother, and Harrow had her hands whipped for it. No matter. She'd managed to avoid all of them. With a little bit of study and the better part of 5 years, now more moved by curiosity than suicidal intent. Inside, she'd found her. The body. Her beloved. Well, now the intent was mortal, for lack of other options. Harrow limped inside and closed the door behind her, taking a moment to rest against the cold stone, letting her vision adapt. The night was dark. When the coffers were as empty as theirs, saving was important, and it wasn't like lights were a genuine concern when most of the aging populace was becoming blind. But this was darker than the darkness Harrow was used to. Pitch black, with no relief at the end. Such was the end of her life, and the dark, wet cave where the end of God was laid down. Harrow limped towards the center. This time, there was no need to avoid anything. She allowed the theorems to skin her, to bleed her like the sacrifice she was, and somehow, in pain and conscious, she made her way to the larger cave. Her teeth chattered as the cold seeped into her bones, needles in her skin as she entered the pool of salt water. It went ignored. Harrow's single-handed focus was on the island in the middle, an outcrop of stone where God's death laid. She climbed the stone, hands bleeding on it, and stared at the body her line was supposed to protect. A girl, asleep, snowflakes resting in her eyelashes, hair a halo around her head, framing her body. They had chained her to the place, hands and feet, an ugly metal collar biting into the skin of her neck. The sword she carried was beautiful and large, a rapier, and Harrow imagined her in her prime. Had she been God's cavalier? How beautiful. How tragic. Harrow coughed blood, splattering all over the precious hands of the most religious figure the Ninth had, and hated herself for it. The filth of her should not soil her. With a scrap of clothing torn apart, Harrow cleaned her so she would remain pristine. Harrow sighed, feeling her body churn as it died. She crawled atop the figure, kissed the knuckles of her pale hand, leaving behind bloody streaks. She hadn't realized she was so bad to be spewing blood. No matter. Not anymore. Harrow curled herself by the side of the sleeping girl, closed her eyes, and prayed until she lost her consciousness, hoping that, when they found her dead body, they'd scatter it in 200 graves. When Harrow woke up, it was to her greatest disappointment, but at least she felt better. She opened her eyes and was met with eyes the color of a familiar molten gold, staring at her impassively, as if they had been waiting for this. That which she had spent the whole mediocrity of her life praying was asleep, insensate, in perpetual rest with closed-eyed and stilled brain, was very clearly not, and she looked enraged about it. Harrow immediately scrambled to kneel, falling to the floor so hard that she hurt her bones, unsure how she had healed and ungrateful for it. She was meant to die, meant to have her body shredded into the 200 scattered pieces she should be, but even that had been stolen from Harrow. "You are of the tomb," Harrow started, slowly, not daring to look up. "And you, the invader." The words ached. Of course she was an invader, breacher, opener of what should not have been opened. There was a pause, a small noise, and a surprise. "But you are of Anastasia's blood." Harrow looked up in her confusion, seeing the girl lick Harrow's blood off her fingers, and lowered her gaze in shame. She must have bled over her. How shameful. "I'm barely fit to be called Anastasia's descendant," Harrow managed, and the body used the tip of the sword to tilt Harrow's chin, so that her unworthy eyes could stare at the death of God's eyes. "My Lady of the Tomb, I..." "Anastasia was the Lady of the Tomb, not I. You are of her blood." A pause, eyes roving around the tomb. "But here you are, inside this place meant to lock me. Tell me, what has happened to the Ninth in my sleep?" Harrow wanted to look away, but the sword stood at her throat, and so she told the tale of the Ninth. At the end, with all sins of the Ninth laid upon her, Harrow could only pray that the end would be swift. Instead, the death of God slid to her side, hands grasping hers, forehead pressed to hers. She was much taller than Harrow, and so had to curve herself to do so, still towering over Harrow in its doing. "'Tis no matter if you're of necromantic origin or not. You're of the line of Anastasia, and my vow is to you, not anyone else who claims the title of Anastasia." Then she leaned down further, biting Harrow's bottom lip in a mockery of a kiss. Too many teeth and not enough lip. Harrow bled. But the fact that the body saw her as the real descendant made her feel complicated things she didn't wish to pursue, not at this time. So she kissed back, in a futile battle to teach the being older than she would ever be how to do so. The body that occupied the locked tomb tipped Harrow's head back, and her lips, coated with blood, kissed the side of her jaw. Harrow shuddered. Oh, to be touched like she was precious! And when her knees gave out, the body laid her down the marble slab she had occupied. Her clothes were undone in a slash of sharp nails, leaving red ridges in its wake, but Harrow didn't care. Her beloved loved her, kissing her until Harrow saw the distant stars through stone, oxygen supply cut through. She decided when to allow her to breathe, as if recalling that it was a need of hers. Harrow didn't mind. If she was to be killed, better to be by God's destruction than by the hands of the Reverend Daughter. Wouldn't it be a better end to end her line by the same hands that had met its start? But the body did not end her. No. Her roaming hands found a spot between her legs that brought out the little gasps Harrow had to bite back at night so as not to be heard. Her parents already hated her, and if they knew of how good the profane touch of her own body felt inside her, they'd have her flogged. But in the tomb, Harrow could be loud, her voice echoing in the walls as the body's mouth touched her, and oh, oh, how good it felt, even if she nipped at her, little morsels of flesh for the being that was ever hungry. But Harrow could feel the skin mending, new nerves firing synapses and becoming pleasure, her cunt becoming wet. She didn't mind. It didn't matter. Her body was adapting to serve the body's needs, and she was but a happy follower. Fingers entered her, scraping her inner walls, and Harrow howled like an animal, but it soon became gasps as they came and went inside of her. The pain she was enduring shouldn't feel good, but Electa was good. God, good. When she came, her vocal cords gave out, tinging her mouth with blood as Electos bit down her thigh, teeth clamping down on flesh like she wanted to eat her, eyes rolling. Harrow came back to Electo, licking her fingers clean, and sat down. No mark marred her body, no bites or lack of flesh. A miracle of the highest order. "What shall we do?" Electo asked, mouth still tinged with blood, and Harrow looked at her. "Stay with me, please." And when Electo stared at her like Harrow was prey, she shuddered with pleasure. The End.